Blog Talk Radio.
This shit should have never happened. Who made it happen? There's so many questions about the history, but you're made. Like, you can ask us, and they're like, man, when did this shit happen?
What up, what up, what up, world? This is the This is Ruck and D-War Show, episode 11. And as you hear, we're going to be discussing Future, Drake, What a Time to Be Alive. It is D-War here, and I'm here with the co-host. I'll have to bring him on in 1 second. Having a few technical issues trying to get into the back end of Blog Talk Radio. As a lot of people know, Blog Talk does have some of their own issues they need to deal with. As soon as I let the man on the line, we will get to chopping this fable. All right, I have him on the line now. All right, introduce yourself.
D-Wise, can you hear me?
All right, we're good now. Some difficulties, but we're good. Let's just jump right into it because we just lost like 5 minutes.
All right. Okay, so you want to get cracking on the your review on the album?
Yeah. As you heard in the intro, it should have never happened, but somebody let it happen. What did you think about it?
I'm going to say out of 5, I'd give it about a 3, maybe a 3.5. It seemed like it was a rush job. I think maybe that meme came out and they were just like, yeah, let's just go ahead and do it. Like, the streets want it, so let's just put it out. The song that stood out to me was, of course, I think Jumpman was the best song on there. I like Jumpman, Change Locations, Big Rings, Jersey. Another song, also I Am the Plug, and I think the standout record was 30 for 30. That was just typical Drake, where he just giving you some bars. I think he throwing some jabs at Meek Mill on that joint. And so what do you think about that project?
I actually have a completely different opinion than you, as I usually always do. I felt like it was pretty decent. My favorite 4 tracks that stand out for me were Digital Dash, that's the intro track. Diamonds Dancing, that's my favorite track. I just like how smooth it is. It seems like that's more Drake's lane. They're doing a little bit more harmonizing on there. Then I also like Jersey, Future by himself, just doing his thing. And then 30 for 30, like you said, it was just the real Drake. I felt like this was a Future tape, and then Drake just kind of jumped on it. It feels like it was more like Future teaching Drake how to, you know, rap like him, like how to be more like Future. That's what it felt like. It felt like it was like a training class for Drake to get some swag. And I don't really think they have a lot of chemistry together, actually. I felt like Future he's just a standout on this whole project. It's like he's just a breath of fresh air. When Drake comes on, you're just like, come on now. Like, Drake can keep up lyrically, but as far as doing it how Future does it with the swag and being able to talk about, you know, the different things he can talk about, the hustling and the flipping and all that, like, Drake can't keep up with that, man. It's just, like, Drake next to Future is really no comparison once you start counting in the swag. Like, this is a Future tape, in my opinion.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, I think it's a solid project, but that's why I feel like it was kind of a rushed job. Because it felt like it was just like some songs that Future had, and they probably took Future verses off and was like, all right,
yep,
Let's put Drake on here too. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yep, but you can clearly tell the tracks that Drake has some input, and then the other tracks, he didn't really have no input. He just kind of on the second verse, because there's like a random second verse, and then Drake comes on rapping exactly like Future, but he's not talking about drugs. It's like, it's weird. It's weird to me. And then 30 for 30,
man, like
the track Drake had.
I kind of like the chemistry. It's kind of like the yin and the yang, because it's like you say, like, Future got the swag, and like he'll hit you with the different melodies and stuff. And it's like Drake could give you like some actual substance, some actual lyrics. Like, that's kind of like what most hip hop groups usually have. Like for example, like Outkast, like Andre gave you actual bars, like while Big Boy gave you the swag, or like UGK, like Bun B would be more lyrical, and Pimp C would give you the swag. So I think it was okay. I think their chemistry is okay.
I don't know about Drake on these type of beats, though. I don't know. And Drake on these bass heavy, kind of up tempo beats. It just, to me, it was just tailor made for Future. It was just, but like you said, they do have like that Outkast thing going on where one of them gives you the swag, kind of the hook to get you into the song, and then the other one hits you. Okay, I'm gonna give you an actual verse now. But out of five, I probably give it like a 3.5. You know, it has some replay value. It definitely has a lot of whip value. You know, and the album is gonna go crazy in the whip. I give them credit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Metro Boomin did his thing on that.
He certainly did.
And what else you want to get into this week?
Oh, let's get the hip hop out the way. We got to talk about this Load of Love's Beloved versus Charlie Clips, man. It was on Summer Madness. They went 3 rounds. It's been uploaded to Smack Channel. I think everybody had a chance to watch it a couple times. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Let's see. Yeah, let me hear your opinion on it first.
First of all, it was a lot of stuff going on in the background, especially starting the match with Lux and Clips. Neither one of them really wanted to go first. I think that Clips had something prepared. Clips tried to get into it. Lux cuts him off, said, oh, let's flip that coin, and then they don't want to flip the coin. It was a lot of that kind of stuff going on where anytime somebody got the momentum, one of them would complain about the time and all that. But the first time I watched it, I gave the first round of Clips. I thought Clips was going crazy. He had some of the more simple bars. I can't really think of anything Clips really said in the first, though. It's kind of going blank right now. But, oh, yeah, he had the line, you know, churches, our skin the same, but we get different chicken. You know, he had a couple bars like that, and they go, I'll put your Caesar by your Duchess. It's like black ink. Okay, it's coming to me now. And it's like, it was more simple. It's more to the point. But Loaded Lux, man, to me, after watching it twice, it was a 3-0, clear 3-0 by Lux. I mean, Lux broke down his character all the way down from being a video game dude talking about guns. He broke that down. Then he broke down his father. He broke down the paperwork, how Clips tried to say in the Rex battle, oh, y'all lying, my father ain't no snitch, can't nobody vouch for that, bring some paperwork. Well, Loaded Lux brought the paperwork and broke it down, then broke it down about how Clips' little brother, his father was a snitch too. It's like, whoa. And his little brother is always behind him. He's a dark-skinned dude with the waves. So, like, Lux is disrespecting the whole family right in front of him. So, to me, that was like, it was some levels to what Lux was saying. I felt like he broke down Clips better. Clips had more of the performance. He put on the African, you know, the African hat. He had the glasses on, you know. So he did more of a show. It's more of a comedy show and more like something for the crowd. But Lux, when you break it down, like how you win a rap battle, like destroying your opponent's character, I gave the Lux a clear 3-0. It's clearly a 3-0. What you think?
Yeah, my humble opinion, I feel like I agree that Lux got the W. I feel like it was 2-1, though. But I only watched it one time. In the round, I would have gave the Clips. I think he got him in the second round. But I think that third round, it was just clear that Lux got it. He brought the paperwork out. He had the bars. He backed it up. And I think that once he brought that paperwork out, I think Clips was just flabbergasted. Like anything he had prepared, he scrapped that and tried to just freestyle and just rebuttal. So right. It was like a clear 2-1 battle. Well, a clear win in Lux, but that third round, it was really no question in my humble opinion. But I got to be honest, like I'm not the biggest battle rap fan. Like usually, only way I really look at it got to be like the best of the best or it'd be like I feel like Lux versus Clips, that's like an example of the best of the best. Or if I wanted the mainstream dudes to step in the ring, I'll take a look. Like when like Joe Budden or Cassie had got into it. So, yeah, this is more your expertise. So.
Yeah, I definitely felt like in that third, like you said, Clips had something prepared, and then he just gave up on it and started rapping about the dude who brought the paper back, started rapping about his dad. He rhymed the word dad with dad about four times. He's like, oh, my dad is snitch. Well, your dad is snitch. Your dad snitch too. He tried to tell the psychiatrist. I was like, yo, that has nothing to do with Lux. That has nothing, like, Lux just broke you and your little brother. He broke your whole family down. And like it looks at it. He told on, is it Peanut told on Apple? The whole town know, even if the crowd don't. I was like, whoa. Like, if that's true, whoa. Like, Prince, like, whoa, you might not be able to go to Harlem after this battle. You might not be able to go back home after this. If all that is true about your family, y'all out here snitching on everybody.
Yeah, I must say, like, both of them brothers, they're very talented, though. I got to give them their due credit, man. But Lux definitely, I think he got that one.
Right,
but I'm going
to check
it out again, though, because I ain't think the 3-0, but I'm going to look back at it.
All right. Yeah, it's a good battle to me. I think both of them should definitely be on the next major card. I don't know what next major card is going to come out. Probably sometime around February. Usually they wait a couple months. So I'd like to see them both battle again. I don't know who Clips can battle. He battled everybody, but Lux. I mean, there's a lot of people for Lux to battle. I like to see Lux battle Matt Hoffa. I don't know if you know who that is. He's a dude that disaster punched in L.A. He's one of the OGs from back in when Smack first started. I would like to see those two guys battle, but I don't know if it's going to happen. You know how these guys are with the money.
I heard him. He's called him and Surf Sue. Or Sue Surf, my bad. I know they exchanged words a lot. I think he punched somebody too, though,
Bro.
Didn't he?
Who?
Matt Hoffa. Didn't he punch somebody? No, that's you, Matt Hoffa.
Yes, Matt Hoffa punched about two other people in the battle. He punched Sirius Jones, and he punched a dude named Dose, who doesn't even really rap anymore. But I'd like to see Matt go against Lux. I think that would be a good battle. I don't know if they can do it financially, because you know Lola Lux wants $100 million to battle. Crazy amounts. But, yeah, let's get on the next topic because we only got 15 minutes left. The fall of POG is something I wanted to talk about. This is a YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah.
I put you on. I kind of feel bad for putting you on to the channel right when all the foolishness started happening. As soon as I put you on, they just go crazy. For anybody who don't know, MC Chris Jones started a channel about 4 years ago. They're working out, you know, going out to eat, just having fun, being boys, and then somehow, starting like 2013, Vince just disappears. And that next thing you know, like up to maybe a month ago, Vince came back talking about Chris is avoiding me. I can't work out with him no more. Da 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 da. And Chris basically says, "Hey, I've been grinding. I put out a video every week. I got two channels now because Chris made a different channel." And basically, as of this week, there's no more Vince. Vince has been officially deleted, like Chris Benoit. What's your thought? <response? laughs>
Oh, man, you know who it is. Chris Jones, representing Pump Chase. Nah, man.
I'm going to change the intro.
Yeah, like, it's funny. Like, you said you just put me on. I think it was just, like, maybe about a month or two ago. And I just see it. I'm expecting just some workout videos. I'm getting these WWE-type monologues. it's pretty funny, though, but... I'll just say this. I mean, it's pretty obvious that, like, Vince's story didn't even sound good. You know, he's saying stuff like, I called Chris and he'll say, let's meet up at 10 in the morning. And I'm sitting in the gym waiting all the way up to 9 p.m. Like, nah, nobody's really going to sit there and wait almost 12 hours for somebody just to shoot some workout videos. But, I mean, look, man, like, basically, it was, like, I look back at some of the old videos, and it was obviously a time where Vince, he let the internet trolls, like, people, you don't even know who these people are. You let these people get in your head and really, like, hurt you to the point where you don't even want to do videos at all. I mean, it's one thing if you're just doing it for a hobby, but this man has a six-figure career off of we can drive a Mercedes, and he let some trolls stop him from doing that. I mean, I think that's kind of ludicrous. But, I mean, as you can see, though, like Chris Jones, he started his own channel, The Pump Chasers. That has over 200,000 subscribers. And Vince, he started his own channel, The Swole Nerd, and it only has about 25,000. So he got about a little bit more than 10% of the amount of subscribers that Chris has. So it's obvious who was bringing the people to the channel, who was putting the work in. You could see it from when they separated. Right. You know, Vince, he deleted him, like, just like how Hulk Hogan got deleted from the WWE. So I think he's going to be working at Walgreens or something, or working at Walmart, putting a highlighter on the receipts. So what's your thoughts?
Man, I think it is, like, what you said is the base, but I do think there's other things going on in the background. Kind of, first of all, you got the welfare fraud situation. I know Vince was living with his moms when the channel started, and he said he couldn't get the money in his name because they didn't want to get kicked off the county benefits or whatever. So I think that may be one of the reasons behind the beef. It's like, hey, man, we put everything in your name because my family was messed up. And then when the money got good, then you want to run off and make Pump Chasers. So, you know, I think maybe that could have been one of the things behind the beef. And then again, PLG is kind of Vince G's creation, even though it wasn't legally in his name because of the Section 8 stuff. Like, he's the one who approached Chris, and he's the one who told Chris, you need to do a YouTube channel, let's do one. But I think Vince kind of overthought it. You know, he kind of overthought the whole thing. Like, you got to get the stuff legally in your name. The passport and everything should be going to your phone if you created the channel. So Chris kind of got one over on him on that. And then again, Chris on camera, as Vince said, he knew the channel was going to take off. And take off is what it did. So you're making six figures a year and you can't even work out. So that's the point. That's the point where it starts to get weird, right? You're making six figures a year, and you can't work out. First of all, you were supposed to film the camera for Chris, and you were supposed to jump in there every now and then. And then Chris goes, he gets his girlfriend, he gets a tripod. Now he's doing everything by himself. He doesn't need you anymore. So why is Chris, you know, going to keep you around? So for me, I just don't know what's going on, man. I'm kind of lost. What are your thoughts on, like, on that whole situation as to why they would, why for 2 years you would just not work out, and you see your partner doing all this extra work, just going to the next, taking the channel to the next level.
Like, if you remember from the video, this was one of the funniest parts of Chris's rant. He was like, "Look, I'm not going to tell y'all what happened, but basically, I'm just going to tell y'all what happened. It was relationship issue." That was the funniest thing to me. And he was like, come on, man, I was about to go to Denny's and celebrate my lunch. It was so funny. But Chris, Vince, he let the trolls get to him. You know, he let his, whatever was going on with his girlfriend. Well, good.
For Vince saying that the trolls I think Vince is just lazy. Let me put it out there. I don't think Vince is working out. I think Chris is breaking his dude off with free checks because maybe legally, like, I think legally they're tied together somehow in some deal because, you know, they got mad sponsorship deals. And then for Vince to come on the channel and be like, well, I stopped working out because, you know, Chris told me not to worry about it. And then Chris told me to make the hater video because he had a video where he had the drop top bins. And it got mad dislikes. It got like 10,000 dislikes. Oh, Chris told me to make that video for the haters. And then I go to the gym. I call Chris. And I've been trying to get in contact with him for 2 years. I can't even get in contact with Chris.
Why the fuck are you lying? Why are you lying? Oh, my God. Stop fucking lying.
That's what I think about Vince. He's lying. Vince is lying. Yeah. He's just being lazy. He didn't want to put in the work, and Chris is wrong for paying him. They both wrong.
If you look at it,
he could have went to his lawyer immediately.
But now, if you look at it, like, look how, like, Chris, he's beast mode. He has a physique of greatness. Vince doesn't. He has a physique of, I don't know, cheesesteak sub. I don't know. Just like you said, he was like, why do people say it's physiques of greatness? It's just a name. Chris,
it's just
he
a name.
Makes sense today. Because he goes to the gym and really goes beast mode. He really chases a little pump.
It's a grind. Working out is hard to do, especially on days when you don't want to. And Chris, for whatever people want to say about it, whether he's natural or not natural, you know, people are skeptical about that. You got to put in the work. You can't just sit at home, do steroids, and go to Denny's, and you're going to get big. Like, no, you still got to go to the gym for a couple hours and get that work in. And
yeah.
I think Vince was just sitting at home going to Denny's and getting fat. He didn't care about YouTube. He's like, yo, I'm going to give you checks anyway. Why should I even work out?
Man. Yeah, some people, they
and
said
they
Chris,
30 minutes away.
Yeah, he said that Chris, he just he changed up because of the money, but I think anybody, it'd be tough if you're doing all the work and you're still paying somebody six figures. I don't care who it is. Nobody deserves to get paid that for not doing anything.
For 2 years? See, there's something else going on. For the 2 years makes me skeptical of Chris. Like, 2 years, I'm not going to pay nobody for two. For 2 years, I might have to come see you or something. They only live 30 minutes apart, and they can't work out and do no business together for 2 years, and they had this company that, or this partnership that's making over $500,000 over those 2 years. Like, nah, something else is going on. Chris is paying him, or Chris is scared of something, and that's why he keeps paying Vince. That's what I was thinking. Now, what could that be? I have no idea. I have no idea.
He
does so many.
He knows he breaks in the. He knows he breaks into different gyms at night and steals protein shakes. That's what it is.
Exactly. That video, yeah, that video of Chris when he went to New Jersey, that showed kind of the real character. Like, Chris is not doing something by the book. You know, there's something going on with POG, and that's why he's paying Vince. And I don't know we'll ever get the truth as to what they're really doing. Like, some people think he's not natural. Some people think other things are going on. But whatever it is, it's eventually going to come out. You know, Vince G is eventually going to man up and do a video and say, you know what, this is what I really think of Chris. This is how, you know, he's going to, like, somebody's going to do a video showing text messages and stuff. I'm telling you, that video is coming. Somebody editing text messages right now. One of those, Chris or Vince, somebody editing text messages right now. Like, this is only going to get worse. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. But shout out
to
Chris.
Down to just a, I was going to say, we're down just a few minutes. I wanted to you wanted to touch on the WWE ratings plummeting?
Oh, Lord. Yeah, let's touch on it.
Hey, how you feel about what's going on with the company?
I actually did see that story where they said they got, what, a 2 point something with their last rating?
Yeah.
It was like a 2.3. I mean, the problem is, is Vince, is Kevin Dunn, and it's this old school way of booking television, especially booking wrestling-related television, like a man-related thing. You're going against Monday Night Football. Monday Night Football is putting on doubleheaders some Mondays. You're going against everything else on TV, and your answer to that is the Divas Revolution. Like, come on now. Do I really want to see Ric Flair's daughter in the ring with Nikki Bella? Do I really want to see that, or do I want to watch, you know, Peyton Manning, Richard Sherman, you know, like you got world class NFL football, Love and Hip Hop, you got everything coming on Monday, and y'all answer to that with the Divas Revolution and Seth Rollins and Demon King. Hey, lucky they have you there. There's no reason to watch WWE. Real talk. You take the trombone away, I ain't watching WWE. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. You know, I didn't even think about it that deep. I do agree with the old school booking. I think that, you know, this new era, it's a new era where they have everything based off the internet. You can just get right on your phone. You can find out what's really going on behind the scenes. So I think this stuff, like when they have like these characters, it's like real 80s to me. Like when you have like Stardust, you know, that was cool when they had Goldust with them, but him and like making what's the dude that like the high flyer like that just came in?
Oh, Neville.
For NXT. Yeah, Neville, trying to treat him like he's a superhero, and this whole Demon Kane thing, that stuff is corny. Like, the people that get the most over is, like, the people that just come out and just be themselves, like without their character stuff.
Xavier Woods getting clotheslined by John Cena and screaming, I wasn't ready! Like, doing the Kevin Hart thing. That was, like, one of the best parts of the show, and it's completely improvised.
Yeah, because now New Day... And the reason why they're over now, because at first it was corny, but they're over now because they get to show their actual personality. They're being themselves more. Like, the most over people, like, was when CM Punk did the pipe bomb. And people like that, or with Daniel Bryan is himself for it. Now, like, the young guy, Kevin Owens, or even John Cena. He may be corny, but he's out there being himself and not trying to be some corny character. Like, this Demon Kane. It's a terrible angle, and they got to get the belt off of Rollins. Like, the ratings are plummeting.
And you know what? Their belt is not coming off Rollins until he beats CM Punk's record. It's just not. He's going to have to go past WrestleMania. I hope people can do math and figure that out.
And then
wrestling 50-year-olds.
I mean, it's obvious that if you want to Triple H's boys, you're going to get a push. Like, why in the world does Sheamus have the Money in the Bank? Who in the world wants to see Sheamus? Who wants to see Rollins versus Sheamus?
Well, Sheamus is going to be in Ninja Turtles Part 2. So he's probably going to have the belt by the time that movie comes out. I hate to say it. Like, WWE is so predictable. Like, Vince thinks this is 1992 where, the world champion is going to be in Ninja Turtles. That'll get the ratings, brother. Yeah, we got
maybe down to the last minute. Oh, dang.
You think anything you want to say before we get out of here?
I just say, you know who it is. Will Ruck, representing This Is Ruck and D-Wall Show.
And we out. Peace. All right.